Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Stacking the Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's shaking?
Everything, Sean.
Everything is shaking. And, of course, my lock of the NHL playoffs, the Philadelphia Flyers, plus 190 coming in, cashing that all the way to the bank.
Ka-ching.
It's nice hitting a plus 190 series bet. Although they were up 3-0, then I started, honestly, I was sweating a little bit. Because, you know, when it gets 3-2, then you're like, all right, wow, if they win this third one, then you have you got game seven in Pittsburgh, and it all of a sudden all the pressure becomes on Philadelphia. But luckily, Flyers were able to hold on. Goalie stepped up. They're looking pretty good going into round two.
Yeah, God, Pittsburgh was just soft, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh was soft, and I don't know. I guess the games also played to the Flyers' favor of high scoring, and they were able to just put a lot of pucks in the net, man. It's pretty simple. I mean, their goaltending, Brizgalov's been hot and cold and had moments of weakness. Obviously, he had that. He was a part of that 10-3 loss. He gave up 5 goals. Then they pulled him. The other guy gave up 5 goals. But overall, yeah, the high scoring action played to the Flyers' strengths, and they looked really. Claude Giroux looked really good. Briere looked good. Yeah, and they were hitting, playing hard, a lot of fighting. Can't ask for much more in playoff hockey, Ryan.
Yeah, it was a good series.
You want to give everyone an update so far on our NHL playoff picks? Of course, I hit the Philadelphia Flyers plus 190.
Of course. Yeah, not much else to report. Of course, we hit on the Kings also.
Yeah, what was that, plus 180?
That was a nice one. Yeah, plus 180, somewhere in there. And then we had the Sharks, the Blackhawks, and the Red Wings. So, you know, if you listen to Sean, you're probably about even if you took everything. It's 2-3 with 2 dogs. So you're probably up a little bit, actually.
Yeah. 2-3 is some big dogs. So, yeah, I guess it depends how you did it. Obviously, if you bet 100 on every series, then you're probably up. But if you bet more money on the heavy favorites, then obviously you'd probably be down there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, solid pick so far. What else?
And then we got we have New Jersey. Or we have Florida versus New Jersey, and they're going to a Game 7 tomorrow. Or, I guess, today.
Today. Tonight.
We also have New York going to a Game 7 tonight also. And then... as we're speaking right now, Boston is trailing Washington 2-0 in the second period.
Wow. So it's a huge run here for upsets.
I think what we learned, just take the dog in hockey.
Yeah, it's kind of like MMA. You just take the dog.
Yeah.
Because
it's more than just hockey. Every year I feel like half the underdogs win, if not more.
Yeah, it's the playoffs, man. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. Obviously, if they're in the playoffs, you end up getting some value taking the dogs in the playoffs. Makes sense.
Yeah. It's like the complete opposite of the NBA.
Right. The NBA, I feel like the favorites.
Especially in the first round, there's rarely any upsets.
Yeah. It's almost like college basketball. You rarely ever see that 8-1 upset.
I mean, we had that Memphis-San Antonio last year. We had, Golden State upset Dallas a couple years ago.
Speaking of... taking the dogs, I had Rashad Evans against Bones Jones in the UFC pay-per-view. I tweeted out that pick, plus 405 for a UFC title fight. I feel like it's pretty solid odds.
Yeah, why not?
And I still don't regret the pick. I mean, Rashad Evans he landed some pretty hard hits on Bones Jones. I mean, I'm not a huge fight expert by any means, but... he landed some pretty hard knocks on Bones Jones, but Jones, just with that reach, and was just devastating him with the elbow. It wasn't even any like crazy hits or takedowns. It was just Bones Jones just kind of dominating, really.
He's just so long.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a crazy wingspan, and he's taller than Rashad Evans. So Rashad's...
I mean, when they stood next to each other, it's hard to imagine they're in the same weight class.
Well, you feel like he could just kind of do that move that, like, an older brother does, where he just, like, puts his hand out on your head and just, like, try and punch me now. And he was kind of doing that, just extending out on him. And he was just forcing Rashad to play defensive the entire time.
Pretty unbelievable.
Still a pretty fun fight to watch. Okay, so, Ryan, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt the NHL playoff update. What else? And there's a Game 7... tonight, basically, if you're hearing this on a Thursday night.
Yeah, there's two. We got the Rangers and Ottawa, and we got the Panthers and the Devils.
Okay. Panthers, Devils, and we have Devils, right?
Or do we have the Panthers? No, we got the Panthers at like plus 150 or plus 160, somewhere in there. So that would be a nice one if we hit that.
And then we have the Rangers as well, right?
Yep, we got the Bruins, Rangers, and Panthers, and hopefully the Bruins can come back.
Jeez. The Bruins being out, too. Wow, this is a lot of upsets.
Yeah, I mean, shit, if the Rangers and the Bruins lose, the Flyers kind of have a pretty easy path into the championship.
Yeah, so now the Flyers would play the winner of the Ottawa Rangers series, right? You were saying that?
Yes. Yeah, so does the NHL reseed? Do we know?
I don't know. I was going
to. I feel like
this.
They might. I feel like they might be. Well, let's see that. I think they already have the matchups for the. Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. Who gives a shit? At the end
right.
of the day.
We'll throw out some more playoff picks after round one.
We should be able to when we do our NBA first round preview, we can do a NHL second round preview.
So yeah, actually, if you're listening to this, this is actually the NFL draft episode. We were just cleaning up some loose ends before we dive into the draft. But in a couple days here, we'll release the NBA playoff package picks podcast.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the Sports Gambling Podcast. And we'll be tweeting out some live NBA picks at Gambling Podcast. You can follow us there. You can hit us up with your NBA picks. If we like it, we'll retweet it. We'll criticize it. You can shove it back in our face if we get it wrong. We're happy. We're happy on any level. But yeah, once the NBA, that's a nice little run there, getting the NBA playoff action going. It's fun. It's intense. Feel like you can get in a good groove with the NBA picks.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I cautiously optimistic that the Knicks have a shot against the Heat.
Now, yeah, you were telling me that earlier, and I feel like you're crazy. I still feel like you're kind of crazy. What makes you think the Knicks got a chance against the Heat?
Melo's playing like he's the best player on the court, even in that series. He's dominating right now. They're playing hard defense. And I don't know, is it crazy to sound like Tyson Chandler is just he just makes their defense good. He's really setting the tone. And the Heat really don't have someone to match up with him, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Chris Bosh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well yeah, and what's Wade's health status?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen anything. I know they're probably gonna rest him for the last game, but
it's one of those things. I feel like they're almost better when it's just LeBron James.
I know they sat everyone the other night against Boston, and they looked horrible. I mean, it's just like, man, those other players must be like, oh, it's so sweet to be on a team with a good player because we stink.
Yeah, I mean, Miami doesn't have any sort of second unit. I think that's been their problem
in
a lot of these.
You don't really need it, though, in the playoffs. I mean, most teams go to a short bench.
Yeah, but I felt like having I feel like Dallas's depth definitely helped them.
Well, and that's the other thing. The Knicks have a fair amount of depth. I mean, don't forget they have J.R. Smith. They have the great white hype coming off the bench. Novak draining those threes, throwing on the championship belt.
And what about Stoudemire? What's his status?
He's back.
Is he playing?
Yeah, I kind of wish they would bring him off the bench, but. You know, we'll see. He gives, you know, he just gives them another score. I really think they're ready to make a little bit of a run.
Yeah, I mean, it has been an interesting year for the Knicks. Obviously, the Jeremy Lin situation, Dan Antoni getting fired, a lot of ups, a lot of downs for this Knicks team.
Well, that's the big thing is that Melo. I guess some news came out about how Melo would love for Woodson to be the coach next year, and so they seem to be rallying behind Mike Woodson as a coach and just playing hard. It's kind of weird to see Melo play hard on defense, but he's playing hard.
I don't understand. How do these guys not play defense?
I mean, you know, they want to use their energy on offense.
Right, I guess, but
defense isn't glamorous.
I mean, look at Jordan, though. Jordan played defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, don't you want to be the next Michael Jordan? Play a little defense.
Yeah, you're comparing – yeah, all right.
I mean, at least try to play defense. I understand not being great at defense, but not making an effort, I don't understand. But, that, you know, that's just kind of the ball player I am, Ryan. Just 110%, laying it all on the court, rebounding, hustling, boxing out, jacking guys in the face, whatever it takes, man.
Yep.
All right. Let's – we touched on the NBA, NHL. Let's get to the meat of this podcast, Ryan, the NFL draft. But before we get to the NFL draft, there's some little NFL news and notes to take care of. First off, our main man, Prime.
Oh, boy.
Prime was involved in a couple off-the-field incidents. His Twitter stream was blowing up. Ryan, I think you have the exact quotes pulled up.
Yeah, I actually just closed it. But essentially, I'll paraphrase. He tweeted out that his wife and a friend just jumped him in front of his kids. And he's going to call she's going to jail, and I'm pressing charges.
And then the real topper was the picture of Deion Sanders and his two sons. They took a picture, and it said, "This is us filling out the police reports." And so it was taken by someone else. So it's just like Deion and his two sons filling out police paperwork. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Do you think he asked the police officer to take that picture?
Hey, man, you mind taking a photo? Sure, Prime. You mind taking a photo with me after this? Yeah, sure. I'll retweet that. And now she got charged with a form of assault that's kind of more serious, and then he got charged with assault for, like, some minor form of assault. Some more minor form. And, you know, he does have a reality show, so maybe this is a stunt for it, but it seems like you wouldn't fake a domestic.
Grown-ass people.
Well, I mean, Deion Sanders, we knew he was afraid to tackle in the league, Ryan, but when your old lady comes at you with a handbag, you think you at least throw a forearm shiver? I mean, I understand you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, but Ryan, if you're filling out police paperwork that your wife beat the crap out of you, isn't that something you keep on the down low, as the brothers would say?
Yeah. But, you know, then you get into the trouble like Mayweather. And you got to go to jail.
Did he actually ever do any time?
For those of you not watching 24/7, you have to watch. It's Mayweather. They just need to make a 24/7 Mayweather.
Yeah, the guy is awesome. He is one of the greatest entertainers.
He refuses to admit his guilt, claiming he's not guilty. He copped a plea where the judge allowed him to, quote unquote, earn a living and support his kids by fighting and start serving the jail time June 1st. So,
but the fight's 90, May 5th, right?
Yeah, 90 days starting June 1st. And, that guy's awesome.
Dude, can you imagine how nice his jail cell is going to be?
If you haven't watched episodes 1 or 2, make sure you watch episode 3. As in episode 2, they basically started this storyline that Cotto and his longtime assistant slash brother sleep in the same bed together in their training house. And the assistant is very effeminate. So I guarantee Mayweather starts making some gay jokes. No chance that he doesn't.
That's what's always fun about these 24/7 series.
They turn
them
around so quick.
Yeah, that the guy, like Mayweather, will be commenting about last week's episode.
Just HBO in general. Same with Hard Knocks. I mean,
right? No, it's great. It makes it that much more. You feel like you're actually following them in the fight, and it definitely adds to the reality.
Speaking of which, since we're talking about the NFL, which team will be Hard Knocks this year?
Yeah, that's up in the air. I guess
we're coming off a year off because the stupid lockout ruined.
Yeah, that was the only Hall of Fame game and the Hard Knocks were the only real victims of the lockout.
And if you don't watch Hard Knocks, that it might be the best show on television.
Hey, it can get chicks into football. Yeah. I think that just speaks for its cinematic quality.
HBO Films is just do everything better than everyone else. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the voiceover, the production value, it's all great.
Which team are we thinking?
Well.
The Colts are an obvious choice, right?
Yeah.
New regime, owner that definitely would love them.
Oh, yeah.
And you got the rookie quarterback. You got a couple of the old vets and Freeney and Mathis.
No, it makes sense. I guess Denver already said no. The Jets, I think, said no.
Yo, and then you got Carolina.
Yeah.
Team maybe ready to take that next step. You got Cam Newton.
Cam Newton seems like a stud.
But I don't know.
I don't know. To me, I almost
think you got
to
look at the owner, because at the end of the day, the owner's going to be the one making the call.
Right.
That's why I think Miami could sneak in there. This owner seems like he likes the limelight a little bit. They potentially.
Oh yeah,
have a rookie
They got the Williams sister sitting in the box and whatever. He's looking to make a splash. I could definitely see, especially if they draft a quarterback. If they get Tannehill, like my mock board is saying.
Oh, interesting.
My mock draft is telling me Ryan Tannehill to the Dolphins at 8.
I feel like you can, and even Seattle, like Pete Carroll would love to be on TV. That guy.
Oh
loves-
God. He's another guy, another just hilarious character, just like destroyed all these recruiting rules and then was just like, all right, time to go to the NFL.
Yeah. I knew nothing about this.
Yeah, now it came out there was some, I guess some agent friend he was with signed like 9 USC players, and it was just sounded like he was like, yeah, 100 grand if you get me so-and-so.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I guess I could, and what about the Redskins?
Redskins would definitely be a great choice.
Yeah.
DC, Mike Shanahan, RG3, Daniel Snyder.
D'Angelo Hall likes to talk.
It is one of those things. But really, if I'm these like smaller market weird teams, I would definitely be pushing hard for it. Like
Jacksonville, new owner with the mustache.
Yeah. Jacksonville, definitely. But they don't have any big name players, really, except MJD. If I was the Buffalo Bills, I'd be pushing really hard for this.
You don't really need the big-name players because they do such a good job of building characters in that show.
No, it is true. And I almost kind of like when they do the more – like I almost kind of like a Cincinnati Bengals because it's like what is it like for these teams?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost fascinating, these
like
random
the Cowboys,
markets.
It was annoying. It's like, oh, great. We're going to see a whole show at T.O. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, and it's guys who are already stars kind of playing up to the camera instead of the show basically discovering stars and finding out people's personality. You know, when they have, like, big-name guys or, like, Rex Ryan, it was fun, don't get me wrong, but Rex Ryan's already kind of Rex Ryan and will play to the camera and is kind of aware of that, where it's almost interesting these other, like, smaller dudes who are trying to make a name for themselves. I think it's almost interesting to let the kind of camera go in and find some stars. But all right, Ryan, let's see. Oh, and of course, the Saints eavesdropping charges. Apparently, Loomis, the Saints GM, which how does this guy still have a job? It's pretty crazy. Now it sounds like there's still a lot more information to come out.
Let's break it down. So the allegations are that he had a, I guess most GM boxes have a line into the box where they can listen to the radio calls for their team. That's how they presented it. Now, he apparently had it switched so he could hear the calls of the other team. So first thing, because like, I don't know, they keep bringing up how it seems unlikely and how could he do anything with the information, but who would make this up?
Yeah.
This is a pretty, like, extravagant lie. It seems like...
Well, and here's the thing. There's two arguments to be had here. Jay Glazer presented a counter-argument saying, why would you have Mickey Loomis, who's supposed to just be the cap guy, why would he be listening in on the X's and O's? But obviously, he could just write that down, pass that information along to the coaches.
It's not like he sits in the room by himself, too.
Yeah, whatever. And then, like you said, who makes this up? How do you make it up? ESPN is... they're a big news organization, so if you're going with an anonymous source, they're not going to just post a random anonymous source. They got to have some credible evidence, I would think.
Do they? I mean, ESPN does have a history of jumping the gun with stuff, I feel like.
But
what's weird is they break the story, and then NFL Live, they're just defending the Saints. And it's like, I don't know.
NFL, it is weird how they, like, if they don't break it, they almost want to present the counter-argument.
But it
Now here's the Saints. Supposedly, the Saints are saying this is 100% not true, which when anyone says, or 1,000% false. When everyone says 1,000%, that immediately makes me concerned. But now, supposedly, the Saints are getting a legal team together and considering suing ESPN for libel.
Wow.
Now, that could just be them posturing, or it could be, and wanting ESPN to show their cards. So maybe they're like, all right, who actually, you know, basically getting the ESPN to reveal their source.
Yeah, I guess the big thing is when this happened with the Patriots and they were filming, that wasn't illegal. It was just against the rules in the NFL, right?
Right.
They were illegally filming, and this is actually being looked at by the FBI.
Yeah, and
because it falls under the wiretapping laws in this country. And that's just beyond, like, breaking NFL laws. Now you're actually doing something illegal.
It is pretty hilarious. But then I guess it all depends on when they rewired the Saints thing. I guess because in Louisiana there's a 6-year statute of limitations on illegal wiretapping or eavesdropping. So I guess it kind of happened around...
They're claiming 2002 to 2004, which is suspiciously just long enough ago.
Yeah.
They're saying that it got turned off when they used the Superdome as a shelter.
Well, it sounds like it was damaged enough that they couldn't use it that year where they went 3-13. They couldn't use that listening device, and then it was unclear if it got turned on back then, or it was unclear. They said they don't have actual evidence of him actually using it.
They also pointed out that in one of the seasons when they were decent, maybe 03, 04 or something like that, that they were decent at home, except for when Peyton Manning came to town and shredded them, where, of course, we know that Peyton Manning calls all his own plays at the line. And it's like, well, they were trying to use that as a counter argument against, like, oh, they weren't listening. Look, Peyton Manning beat him 55-10. But
Peyton Manning makes all his own calls.
He's the exact type of player that you wouldn't be able to benefit from. So I thought that was interesting. They're clearly guilty. Everyone knows they're a shady franchise. The owner's shady.
Yeah, I mean, just starting from that whole pill cover-up scandal that they paid out of court. Yeah, I mean, but it also could just be Peyton Manning in a dome torching a weak defense.
Well, the other question is then, so the Patriots got penalized a first-round pick, and the coach and the team were fined $500,000. If this turns out to be true, what's their penalty?
It's got to be at least that, if not more, right?
It's got to be worse than that, right? Like, it's...
Well, I think if they prove this, I think Mickey Loomis is out of the NFL. And fine, we're talking... I guess the most a coach could be fined was $500,000 at the time when Bill Belichick got fined $500,000. So I would imagine it's the max fine, and you're looking at maybe even more than one first-round pick.
Oh,
maybe the Saints just don't draft again.
I mean, they already lost their second-round pick next year.
Yeah, they don't have any first-rounders this year or a second-rounder, I don't think.
And they lost their second-rounder this year and next year for the bounty thing. Pretty crazy.
And the Saints players who are going to get punished for the bounty, that hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, the NFL just released that they won't be ready this week. But it sounds like it's going to be...
Oh, I thought they said the end of this week, but I could be wrong.
It sounds like it's going to be, depending on the player, upwards of half a season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're suspending the GM for 8 games, how do you not do it for the players?
Did you see what Steve Smith said?
The Eagles receiver?
No, the wide receiver.
Carolina?
Carolina. He claims that Greg Williams admitted it to him because in a game they kept diving at his ankles out of bounds, and Steve Smith went up to Greg Williams and said, maybe it was the next season, he said, man, you got to quit this shit. And Greg Williams apologized and said it was out of line. So it's like, I don't know. Steve Smith, I guess he isn't the most credible source, but...
Right. I don't know. I mean, was there an increase in injuries that the Saints actually caused? I mean, you also have to factor in the idea of when you're in a locker room, you're just talking crazy shit, you're saying crazy things.
Yeah. But bottom line, we all watched that Vikings-Saints game, and... Anyone who watched that game you knew something was up. They were murdering Brett Favre.
Yeah, and I don't understand how they were not getting flagged for that. And that,
well, that's the main
thing. The refs really should be in charge of regulating this stuff.
Because Brett Favre was getting murdered.
The NFL can do whatever they want, but really, whatever guys are going to do behind closed doors, there's always going to be some sort of, however they want to call it, bounty, whatever. If guys want to give each other money, dinner, whatever, for jacking up dudes, you're never going to get rid of that. It has to be on the NFL. As much as I get annoyed with tic-tac calls, you have to realize that it's up to you to kind of police the game and realize, you know, the kind of hits you're allowing and not allowing. It comes down to the refs.
Yep.
All right, Ryan. Well, speaking of great hits, Brian Dawkins, salute you, sir. Great NFL player, one of the last hard-hitting safeties. He's one of the hardest-hitting safeties in the league.
Yep.
They locked down that Eagles defense for years. Even had a couple nice moments on the Broncos. Just a class act. as everyone just says, I was watching just YouTube highlights and stuff. They're like, he's such a quiet Christian man off the field. And then he just goes, "Woo, yeah." It's so great because he doesn't curse. So he's just like basically giving the Ray Lewis speech without the bleeps. Like, whatever you got in your goddamn, yeah, god dang heart, I need it today. I need it today. I need you to feel somebody. I need you to pop somebody in the mouth.
Yeah, that's great. So which team is he going to retire on?
Oh, he's retiring as an Eagle.
Not the X-Men as Weapon X?
Oh, yes, exactly. He also has his side persona.
His alter ego, Weapon X.
Alter ego, Weapon X, which had its own locker next to
basically Wolverine, yeah. I love how veterans get the extra locker, but he dedicated his second locker to Weapon X.
It is great. Not Jesus Christ. Nope. He's a Christian. It's, I mean, you could get him on Worshiping False Gods there and Weapon X. I mean, Brian Dawkins, that's just the way you play football. The guy was just all over the field, hard hitter, intense guy, great leader on defense, brought the Eagles a lot of great victories, class act on and off the field. Gotta love him. And he's going to be missed. You don't come across a guy like Brian Dawkins every year, Ryan.
Yeah, him and Brian Westbrook were the two scariest Eagles for most of their time.
Yeah, Brian Westbrook, also super religious dude. Although now Shady McCoy is kind of picking up the mantle. He's had he had a really good year last year that kind of got overlooked by the Eagles' just ineptitude and not living up to the dream team status.
Did you see that story? The GM came out and said they almost didn't draft or traded LeSean McCoy that year because the running back coach at the time didn't want him. Didn't think really. He was going to be any good.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're going to get into the draft right now. But, you know, as much as you can give teams crap or, oh, my God, you're a genius, you're not. It seems like there is just so much that can go right or wrong for these guys.
Well, look at, I mean, LeSean McCoy and to a lesser degree, like Darren Sproles, they come out and everyone's like, well, they're not going to be able to play, you know, they're not going to be able to carry the ball 25 times a game and all this other crap. It's like
LeSean McCoy is bigger, too.
But no one carries the ball 25 times a game anymore. It's
especially in this NFL, it's all about catching passes out of the backfield. You get 15 carries, that's a heavy workload now in the NFL.
And every team has two running backs. I mean, LeSean McCoy is probably one of the few that is kind of the only guy, but even
they don't even have, like, a well-known second guy that gets a lot of touches. I mean, between Michael Vick and, you know, running a lot of the short passing routes, they don't rely on a second running back as much as other teams. And that's why these teams are afraid to pay these running backs big money because they just work through. I mean, they just don't have a long shelf life. I mean, that's why you see guys like Forte unhappy with their contract because they want to get that rock star pay. But the teams just realize there's so much value. Now you can just get a stud running back in the second and third round and just move on.
Yeah, I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw was a seventh-round pick. It's like, just why take a guy in the first round?
Yeah, why would you...
How much better could they have... I mean, with the exception of, like, Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson... I mean, there's a handful of guys...
Yeah, but you have to know that they're going to be Adrian Peterson or LaDainian Tomlinson.
And a lot of people are saying Trent Richardson is the best running back prospect since...
All right, well, let's get to the draft, Ryan. Let's see. Obviously, we know Andrew Luck's going number one to the Colts. We like... obviously, RG3 going to the Redskins.
And then it gets interesting, Sean.
And then it gets interesting. Now, it looks like the Minnesota Vikings are in a bit of a bind here. They're trying to unload that pick. They don't want to use it.
Well, so that brings up first prop bet for the NFL draft.
Oh, nice. We got some prop bets?
We got some prop bets. Which team will make the third overall pick in the NFL draft?
Oh,
Minnesota Vikings, minus 330. Any other team, plus 215.
Wow.
So the rumors are that the Vikings being in a division with the pass-happy Packers and Lions feel that although a left tackle and Matt Khalil would definitely help their offensive line,
they want Claiborne.
They would rather go for a cornerback, and that's who Kuiper has on the mock draft, Morris Claiborne, who if you watched LSU at all, dude's a man. Like, he's a serious man. He's big, he's fast, he catches the ball.
So now, who are they talking about moving up?
It sounds like all sorts of teams. The Bills apparently are in the mix. I guess there's even some rumors that the Jets might try to come up to take Richardson.
Now, I think that's, if I'm the Jets, that's the move I pull. If I'm the Jets, I move up and I take Trent Richardson.
And then you just run Tebow and Richardson in the biggest backfield ever.
Yeah, Tebow. Yeah, you could even have Sanchez at quarterback and just run the wishbone with, like, Tebow, Richardson. Think about this. I mean, that team, they need a beast running back who can get a ton of carries, keep the clock moving, take the pressure off Sanchez, or in the case of Tebow, and help your defense out by controlling the ball.
I also think there's some depth at cornerback this year. And I think the Vikings need more than just one player. So it seems to me like the smart move for the Vikings, especially apparently, so the Bills are willing to give up their first, obviously their first rounder, their second rounder, which is the 41st pick, and then I guess another pick, according to the rumors. That seems like a good package. You're picking up some extra picks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Vikings have so many needs that they definitely should try to trade down, are actively trying to trade down. So I like that the Vikings will trade down.
So that will be interesting. Is the team trading up? Are they now trading up to get... Because if the Bills trade up, they're trading up to get Matt Khalil, the offensive tackle.
Vikings will not pick is +220.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's a lock.
Are we locking that in?
Yeah, let's take that. That's way more
fun. It seems logical. It seems, why not?
Well, you know, one of these
might be a bidding war too, because you know, you got to remember too that Tampa Bay really wants Trent Richardson. Doesn't look like he's going to drop past the Browns. Like we said, the Jets.
Well,
there's also rumors that Miami might trade up because they're scared that Tannehill gets drafted somewhere before him.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. As much as these teams are trying to play hardball right now and not trading for that third pick, when it comes to draft day tonight, you know all these GMs are going to get their panties in a bunch and someone's going to pull the trigger.
So that comes the next.
And Minnesota's asking price has got to be not that high. So it just seems like a match made in heaven.
So this is an interesting opportunity, right? You could probably arbitrage this and make money both ways. Who will be the third pick? Matt Khalil -250, Morris Claiborne +120, Justin Blackmon +500, and an offensive lineman from Iowa +1200. So Trent Richardson not even on the list. But like I said, if the Bills trade up, which would be +215 or 220, whatever I said.
Yeah.
They're going to take Khalil, so you could almost go Claiborne for +120, any other team for +220, and guarantee yourself some money. You're guaranteeing yourself.
Okay,
$20?
So you're saying
yeah.
Claiborne, because the Vikings are definitely going to take
Claiborne, or I would be. I mean, I guess it could be Richardson, but I would guess it's going to be Claiborne or Khalil.
Okay, that's interesting. So you would only get screwed if
you wouldn't get screwed at all. Oh, yeah, if someone traded up and took Richardson or something like that.
Right. And
no, but then you still win the +220. If the Vikings...
Oh, yeah, unless the Vikings,
drafted
Trent Richardson.
No, or Khalil.
Oh, Khalil. Yeah. Which people are talking about. I wouldn't be shocked if they took
Khalil. It sounds
like
they're not going to take him, though. Anyway, so Kuiper has Morris Claiborne to the Vikings with the third pick.
That's a pick that makes sense, but...
I think they're trading out.
Yeah, I like the +220 trade.
I'm gonna pull up McShay's mock draft off also, so we can get a little introspective. He likes Morris Claiborne also to go to the Vikings.
Okay,
so, interesting. All right, so then with the fourth pick, we got the Cleveland Browns. I think if they're here and Trent Richardson is still on the board, they have to take him.
Yeah, you need a franchise.
You gotta give Colt McCoy some help. If you're not trying to get another quarterback, you might as well get the best running back. According to most, since AP, I don't know if you watched him in college. The dude's a beast. He never gets tackled. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, what did he? He was on a radio show saying they asked him what he benched, and he said like 425. But that's all they would let me put on the bar.
Yeah, go pull up some YouTube clips of Trent Richardson, and you just be like, wow.
He's the definition of beast mode. I think he's pretty solid.
I mean, he's basically like. He's got a little Steven Jackson in him, in the fact that he's going to hit you, he's going to run you over, he's going to get 5 yards after contact.
Number four, St. Louis Rams.
Four is Cleveland. So
oh,
five
four is Cleveland
is Tampa.
Oh, okay.
And this is where it gets interesting. Tampa, by all accounts, will take Richardson if he's still here, according to our mock. Not there. So both McShay. Actually, no. Kuiper has Matt Khalil going to the Bucks. They need all the help they can get in the offensive line.
Yeah, that wouldn't
Freeman
be a bad pick.
Freeman got his ass kicked last year. But Todd McShay has them taking Luke Kuechly.
Now, is he D-tackle?
Linebacker from Boston College, who everyone is comparing to Brian Urlacher.
Oh, yeah.
Played against Virginia Tech, so I got to see him. He's really good. He averaged something crazy like 16 tackles a game in his career.
That's insane.
Linebackers are usually pretty safe picks, but I don't know. I feel like you got to take the offensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean, a left tackle is a cornerstone of a franchise. You can't trade for them. They're tough to sign. Yeah, I think if you get that stud left tackle this early on, you got to grab it.
So then on to St. Louis, Kuiper has him taking Blackmon.
Now, see, I don't think they're going to take Blackmon.
Here's what I don't get. Well, they might trade down to Miami spot, let Miami move up, get Tannehill.
Or if Trent Richardson's still available, I don't see it out of the question of them moving Steven Jackson.
Yeah, I've seen some things they want to trade Steven Jackson. What I don't get is everyone's shitting on Justin Blackmon, saying he isn't like a number one NFL wide receiver. If you watch this kid play for Oklahoma State, he's a beast. He might not have Calvin Johnson's speed, but he's big, he's physical, he's going to be able to get open. He's going to be, you know, Bradford's going to be able to find him.
Speed is a little overrated in the receiver position in the NFL. I mean, look at the guys that...
Victor Cruz. I mean, I think Victor Cruz ran like a 4.5 or 4.6 40. He, you know, it's one of those things. If you're big, you catch the ball, you can use
your
body.
You just got to have your body.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the guys that Al Davis drafted.
Yeah.
All amazing
shit.
40 times. Yeah, it doesn't matter about how fast you run. I mean, DeSean Jackson's kind of like the exception of using lightning speed. But even like if you are just fast, it's one-dimensional and you can play around it. Whereas if you have size and possession ability and able to box out defenders, that's what really matters.
And I think Bradford really hasn't had that guy, that go-to guy. So, and they lost Brandon Lloyd. I think they need a receiver.
You know...
But I mean, there's other receivers.
Yeah, I was hearing they might go D tackle just because they realize the game's won in the trenches.
It is Jeff Fisher,
and he might take like I forget the D tackle they were talking about them getting, but
Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox. It sounds like.
So speaking of Fletcher Cox, Mel Kiper has him going off the board at the number 7 pick to your Philadelphia Eagles, who are
trade up
Jacksonville's pick. Kiper is projecting. Apparently, the Eagles are in love with this guy. And Kuiper is projecting that they trade up, so...
Ryan, this is a good time to mention that the Sports Gambling NFL Draft Challenge. Of course, if you send in a complete first-round mock draft with all the picks correct, you'll win a $500 prize, an autographed Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirt.
Oh, interesting. We're going to autograph it, too?
And you just send that entry into contest@sportsgamblingpodcast.com. contest@sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Now, a much realer opportunity is if you correctly guess the Eagles and Giants first-round picks, submit them by the time the NFL draft starts to contest@sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You'll win a $100 prize and a free Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirt.
That's cash money right there.
And, yeah, you can put that on nice. I mean, you really have nothing to lose. This is a free – you're chasing money here with a free $100 prize.
And we won't spam your email address. Don't worry.
No. We'll just send sweet picks.
Yeah.
Picks you don't have to pay for.
Yeah.
That's what we do. You know, some of these picking services, they get you on this email newsletter, and they keep sending you these...
dog shit picks.
Well, they send you crappy picks, and they just hedge the stats in such a way that makes them seem like winners. Hey, listen, if we don't make the right picks, you can come on. You can tweet at us. You can tweet our picks are garbage, whatever. We're men. We stand by our picks. You know, we hit a high percentage. We don't hit them all.
Yeah,
I have a career winning record through the offshore account.
How many of these pick services finished in the top... What do we finish? In the top 14% in the Las Vegas Hilton football handicapping contest.
Yeah, our record speaks for itself.
Anyway, so
just hyping up the podcast. Do we have any more NFL draft bets, Ren?
Oh.
More prop bets?
Well, we got some prop bets. Like,
let's take a look at the prop bets. I feel like that's more interesting for the listeners.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. Let's breeze through the rest of the top 10, then we'll look at some props. So Miami, it sounds like the owner wants Tannehill. It sounds like everyone thinks that's silly because, in like every year in the draft, people freak out. You'll have the top quarterbacks, and then people start drafting the second tier way too early.
Why am I crazy to think Matt Moore is a solid or okay quarterback? Yeah. That second half of the year, the guy played well.
Yeah,
why are they just
they
such a rush to get rid of
him?
Pick
on a quarterback here, Matt Moore.
He's a quality starter. He's a NFL starting quarterback. Is he quite the franchise level yet? No, but he has shown potential for growth. I think you have so many other positions to address. I think it's crazy to get Ryan Tannehill right now.
Yeah, and then
get Whedon in the second round.
And someone's going to get a steal with Whedon. Everyone, I don't understand the knock on Whedon being too old. I mean, If he's good and he plays for 10 years, what's wrong with that?
Right. I mean, I understand.
He's 26. He's not 40.
I understand. He's 26.
This isn't unnecessary roughness or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I understand maybe not a number one, number two pick because then you're thinking, oh, my God, I want this guy for 15 years, blah, blah, blah. But
10 years.
10 years is fine.
Who wouldn't take 10 years for a starting quarterback?
Especially if you can get him in the second round or late first round. I feel like there's a lot of value there.
It's unbelievable. I don't.
And like you said, he was a professional athlete before. He's coming in probably way more mature.
Don't you want your quarterback to be older and mature? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's not 26 in quarterback years. He's 26 playing like minor league baseball. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like his body was destroyed or ravaged with injuries or he's playing. You know what I mean? Like, it's a soft 26.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And think about it. What's the biggest problem at the quarterback position? Maturity?
Yeah.
Being able to pick up the playbook? You think older guy would have a lot more advantages doing that?
I don't know. It's like how they describe boxers that have been in prison. He's a young 26.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, then we have Kuiper has the Panthers taking Kuechly at 9, and the Bills taking Michael Floyd, wide receiver out of Notre Dame, who's also a really good wide receiver.
Who's the receiver out of Notre Dame?
Michael Floyd.
Okay.
So, back to the props. So, you could literally bet on every pick starting 3 to 10. So, who will make the fourth pick in the draft? Cleveland minus 700, any other team plus 400. I don't see Cleveland trading. Although they do have a little of that Andy Reid Eagles blood in them.
Maybe trade they down
trade
and get
down
value.
And get more picks. I'd leave that one alone.
Just feel like at 4, there's got to be someone that they can't say no to.
Who will be the fourth pick? Trent. I would be surprised if Trent Richardson doesn't go to the Browns at 4. He's minus 350.
Okay.
I wouldn't bet this one.
It doesn't seem like there's great
value.
Will
the Bucks make the fifth pick? Minus 400 plus 250. Any other team? Again, who will
they take?
Sounds
like there's potential hedge opportunities. But out of all these, I still like Vikings will not pick plus 220.
Yeah, I like that one. And then you have... Now, this is where it gets interesting. You have the sixth pick. Will the Rams pick? Minus 350. Any other team, plus 225. I think there's
that might be another one to take there.
Yeah, and if you're not going to do... Wow, interesting. And then
you could win both because you could win the Rams either trading up or trading down.
And then you also have the seventh pick. I mean, as we saw, Kuiper thinks Jacksonville might trade out. You can get any other team plus 150. Jacksonville, another team that has way more needs than just one player.
Right.
Why wouldn't they trade down? Especially to a team like the Eagles who has a lot of picks. You can probably pick up a first and a second.
Yeah, they just picked up a late rounder today for Asante Samuel.
Oh, glad to see him go.
Why, you didn't like him?
He was just so good at picking the ball off. He just took chances and just, I don't care that he couldn't tackle because a lot of quarterbacks don't tackle. He made more plays than anyone else in that defense last year. I know you're going to downplay his loss and how it was a good move for the salary cap, but here's what I saw.
Sure.
Nnamdi, not worth the money they paid him. I think Rodgers Cromartie will be better not playing the slot, and he's really athletic. But I think they'll miss Asante Samuel's game-changing interceptions.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with that. He was he was kind of a liability at some time. He's probably Eagles are great at kind of getting rid of guys or have a decent history of getting rid of guys at the right time. I think it's, like you said, it's more of a value thing. They're probably feeling like he's on the downward slope right now, and at $10 million, he's not worth it. That's what he was looking to make. next year for the Eagles. You know, I mean, $10 million to free up. In my mind, it seems like they got other needs that they have to address. I don't mind them freeing up a little bit of cap space to take care of that.
So speaking of which, it sounds like the Giants might be trading OC.
Really?
Well, there's conflicting reports. One report is that the Giants will trade him for a third-round pick.
Now what, this is just him being unhappy with his contract?
Well, the other is now OC's saying that he wouldn't mind. He's disappointed that the Giants made him play out his full contract. It's like, dude, you signed a 7-year contract. Get over it. But he's also saying that he wouldn't mind finishing out his career with the Giants signing like a 3-year deal, 3 or 4-year deal. So
how many years into his deal?
This is the last year coming up.
Oh, of his 7-year deal?
Yeah.
And they never renegotiated?
No. Wow. Great team. Great contract for the team. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's one of those things. Hey, dude, you signed a deal. I mean, what's the value?
Here's the thing. They need to trade him out of the conference. I don't want to see OC playing on a team because he's still good. I mean, he's still...
Yeah, he's still good. He's a little bit of a head case, but he's still definitely
he's
got...
He's still
like,
one of the best players at that, like, reach for the ball strip when the quarterback's pulling it back.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he still has, like, 2-3 years at being, you know, top 10 at his position.
But he's also expendable now that Jason Pierre-Paul is all-world and looking like the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean, is it? I think if you can get him in for a decent number, you stay with him. I mean, why mess up that
defense?
Well,
there's no real reason to trade him this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, the trades in the NFL are kind of pointless.
$4 million this year.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to show up to camp, what are you going to do? You're going to play.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants take another defensive lineman with their first couple rounds. They seem to do it every year. Like, they took Justin Tuck when they didn't need him in, like, the third round back when they drafted him. They took Pierre-Paul in the first round when they had Tuck and OC, and people said it was a bad pick, taking a kid who hadn't played too much football, but I don't know.
Proved to the world wrong, Ryan.
You always need pass rushers, Sean.
You do. Especially in this pass-happy league.
I mean, the Giants have won 2 Super Bowls in seasons they probably shouldn't have because their pass rush was so fierce.
Well, that's all it takes. I mean, this pass-happy league, it's tough to stop them with the defensive backs because they get so many calls and the rules are favored.
Got to hit the quarterback.
But at the end of the day, you can't complete a pass if there's hands in your face, you're getting whacked, or you're getting sacked.
You got to take the head off the snake.
Whoa.
Don't fuck around with its tail.
Whoa, Ryan. What are you, Greg Williams over here?
No, I'm sorry.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what he said. And they're like, he was probably alluding to Michael Crabtree's concussion. I don't know. I guess just hearing those tapes, I've heard a million times crazier stuff about we're going into the alley and we're going to have our backs against the alley and we're going to stab these MFers and they're going to be bleeding. There's going to be guts everywhere. And that was like on my 9th grade team. Did we actually think we're going to go out and stab these guys? No.
All it takes is one guy.
One guy. One narc. It's probably the guy, the Saint Snitch is probably the guy who got, like, screwed over in the Vicodin deal.
Probably.
I would not be surprised. All right, any other cool draft props here, Ryan?
Over under draft position for Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, interesting.
Over. Under 8.
Okay.
Under is +125, over -155.
So right now, the Dolphins...
I don't think he's getting past the Dolphins, do you?
No.
Why wouldn't you take the under, then? What if the Dolphins panic and trade up?
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, worst case, you push, right?
Yeah, I don't see how... How does he go... All right.
And you're getting plus
odds,
right?
That's a lock, Ryan. So we're getting Tannehill, 8 pick and under. These GMs are retards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's not going to get past the Dolphins unless, I don't know, unless the Dolphins trade up for someone else, which I don't, what's the scenario there?
The owner wants Tannehill. I feel like the owner's going to get what the owner wants. It just seems, that's tough.
What's tough about it? Cash in 125?
Yeah.
Not tough at all.
I feel like the worst that happens is you push. Other than that, not a ton of fun. You can bet. Will Mr. Irrelevant, of course, the last pick in the draft, play offense or defense?
Oh, nice. All right, I'll go defense.
All right, I'll take offense. And then, of course, you can bet on the coin toss for the Super Bowl next year.
It's already out.
Of course.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
But yeah, besides that, not a ton of props. You know, kind of. I think the ones we talked about are definitely golden.
Yeah, I like it. So we got Vikings will not pick third, plus 220.
I love that one.
Tannehill, eighth position or under, plus 125. I got Mr. Irrelevant on D. You got Mr. Irrelevant on offense. And, of course, we have our NBA Playoff Picks podcast coming up in the next couple days here. We'll have it up before tip-off of the first playoff game. Sure.
What do you want the Eagles to do in the first round? You want this defensive tackle? Do you want them to sit pretty? And what do you think the number one position they need to get?
Well, going into the offseason, I thought it was linebacker. But now they got that guy from the Texans. So I feel like that's
at
least
from the Texans.
D'Amico Ryans or
what? Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's a two down linebacker. He's solid though.
So yeah, I feel like that was a pretty huge pickup. I feel like you said, this is a pass rushing league. You can never have too many D tackles. So if they see a D tackle, they want to go after. I say go for it. Even if they now, who's the stud left tackle? Khalil?
Matt Khalil is kind of like in a league of his own.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he won't be around there, but if they're talking about moving to number 7 for the Jags, maybe there's an outside shot they move up and get him. I'm not really stoked on them taking Tannehill. That was another possible rumor.
If they keep their own pick, this Riley Reiff kid out of Iowa, he's like the number 2 tackle.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem them going tackle or... I think they should either go offense or defensive lineman. That's what I'm looking for the Eagles, at least for the first two picks. I like offense and defensive line. If they get a shot to get Whedon in the second round, I'm okay with that. But I'm not giving up on Kafka yet. I don't know. Maybe the Eagles aren't that high on him. Maybe they've seen a lot in the way he's played, or at least in practice. But he came into that Atlanta game, he looked all right, and he's had moments where he's looked okay as well. So. Is he the quarterback of the future? I don't know. It's probably not a bad idea to draft someone, but it seems like it's just so top-heavy here with quarterbacks. I mean, you're going to have to give up a lot to get Tannehill. I don't see it being the lock that everyone else does.
No.
It scares me, the number of games he's played in college at the quarterback position. So I would say defensive line, offensive line.
Plus, honestly, and McShay actually has the Eagles taking Kirk Cousins in the second round, there's... If you're going to wait, Kirk Cousins, I don't see him being that much worse than Tannehill. Quarterback for Michigan State, you probably saw him play in the championship game or the bowl game for the Big 12.
Yeah.
He's solid, and I think that would be a fine pick. I mean, there's a handful of pretty good developmental quarterbacks that if you're not going first round...
Right, and Whedon, I'd be fine with Whedon if they could get him in the second round.
It looks like a lot of people have Whedon going to the Browns later in the first round, them trading back up.
Oh, okay. Or maybe them getting him early second round, whatever. I mean, I'm fine with Whedon because if they would have to move, it wouldn't be to give up a lot.
And another guy, Russell Wilson, quarterback from Wisconsin. He's a little short. He's a lot like Michael Vick, probably a little more accurate with not quite the wheels, but that's a typical Eagles pick right there, you know?
Yeah,
I don't see any, like, if you're, especially if they're Eagles, Michael Vick has a couple years left in him at least, you know?
Right, and so, yeah, if there is a good value at one of these players, okay, I'm fine with you taking him, but I don't think you have to make a move to get a quarterback. That's what I'm saying.
So you would want an offensive or a defensive lineman?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. Defensive lineman, maybe even
nothing
more so.
Exciting about that, but I feel the same way about the. I have a feeling the Giants are going to take an offensive lineman.
No, but I mean the Eagles' skill positions; those have been their strongest for the past few years.
Yeah,
I mean, look at the. You know, they have decent wide receivers. They got Michael Vick. They got LeSean McCoy. Defensive backfield. They got Rodgers Cromartie. They got Asante Samuel. I would be fine with them taking a safety too. So. We will see, Ryan. Of course, make sure you follow us at Gambling Podcast on Twitter, at Gambling Podcast. Ryan, any MLB news?
Still grinding.
How's the formula coming?
It's coming. It's right where it's barely breaking even. On my personal picks, I think I'm up like 5 units on the season.
That's nice.
Like 52% with, I bet, pretty much solely plus odds, so... 50% would even be making money. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I rarely lay minus odds, so I'm up like 5-6 units. Had a bad week there for a little bit 2 weeks ago, but been pretty consistent since then.
Baseball's a grind, man. Phillies have put together a couple nice games. We'll see if it continues.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got some good NFL draft coverage here. And, yeah, make sure you guys go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. Stitcher's a great little app, man. Not getting paid for the plug, but it's great for, like, even all the other, you know, shitty podcasts like Bill Simmons or whatever. You can just, like, click on those, and it doesn't download it. It just streams it right to the app and then cleans it out, so you're not clogging up your phone memory. But, yeah, we're on Stitcher there and the iTunes, and make sure you click the Amazon link at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'm Sean, Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Big Money.
Kramer.
Yes.
Let it ride.